I come before you as an empty vessel, asking you to fill and anoint me with power and wisdom for the task you have set before me. Help me to realize the possibilities to make a difference in my life, my family, my church, and the world when I align myself with the Almighty God of the universe. Lord, you know my frame, and you remember that I'm dust. You are aware of my sins and my shortcomings. Cover them with the cloak of your love and use me for your glory. Please put flesh on these dry bones.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Living Under the Anointing. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Living Under the Anointing.
And so this morning, some of you may be sitting there saying, well, what is the anointing? You know, what when you say anointing, you know, what are you talking about? So we want to explain it this morning, what the anointing is, and that all of us in our lives, that we should minister, we should live under the anointing of the Lord. If you open your Bibles to 2 John, not the Gospel of John, but 2 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 2 John, chapter 2 and verse 20, 2 John, chapter 2 and verse 20, and John writing, he says to his readers, but you have an anointing, you have an anointing, King James says unction. I like that word, unction. I heard somebody preach on unction one time. And they said that, what is unction? And they said that, you don't know, but you know when it's not there. Unction. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. But did I give y'all the wrong reference? I said 2 John. Oh, okay. All right. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, all right? Some of y'all figured that out, though. Amen. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. A fresh anointing. As we start a new year, let us start it with a new anointing. You were handed this morning a prayer. And the prayer is a fresh anointing, prayer for a fresh anointing. And as we begin our message today, let us pray this prayer as we begin. I'm going to read it, and if you just follow along and allow your heart to identify, and hopefully this will set the tone for our message today. Dear Lord, our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our God, our strength, the horn of our salvation, our high tower. I come before you today asking you to anoint my body and spirit with your grace, mercy, forgiveness, might, wisdom, patience, and authority. I come before you as an empty vessel, asking you to fill and anoint me with power and wisdom for the task you have set before me. Help me to realize the possibilities to make a difference in my life, my family, my church, and the world when I align myself with the Almighty God of the universe. Lord, you know my frame, and you remember that I'm dust. You are aware of my sins and my shortcomings. Cover them with the cloak of your love and use me for your glory. Please put flesh on these dry bones and breathe life into them so that they might be equipped to serve you. Give me a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit that I might not walk in the flesh but exhibit the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Father, allow me to dwell in the secret place of the Most High and abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Take me into depths of intimacy and the mountaintop experiences with you, that when I emerge, the Shekinah glory might rest upon my life. Amen. Amen. Anointing, the anointing of the Lord for 2020. I put that, and I challenged the leadership yesterday that you would take that, and I put it on an agenda for them, but you know, I wanted to put it special, and pray that maybe you could put it in your Bible somewhere, or in your prayer time, if you have a prayer journal or prayer notebook, maybe stick it in there, and from time to time, that you would refer to this prayer. And that you would ask God to anoint you afresh and anew. One of the things that I'm going to point out in the message today is that, you know, we need a new anointing for every day. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that his mercies are new every morning. Every morning his mercies are new. And so we need a fresh anointing for the day that we are going to face. We don't know what lies ahead, and we don't know what the future holds, but praise God, we know who holds the future. I like what we have here, if you go to that next slide, but you have an anointing from the Holy One. The word anointing comes from the Greek word chrisma, which means literally to smear with oil or ointment. This word unction or anointing, it means to take some oil or to take some substance and to smear it on a particular thing. John uses it here because in the passage he's dealing with false teachers, and he's saying that there's a lot of false teachers that are out there, and they're waiting to deceive you. They're waiting to get you off point. He says, but you have an anointing. And you know that when false teachers come your way, that you have an anointing to be able to recognize false doctrine whenever it comes your way. You have an anointing. And so in another sense, when we look at the anointing, it is to believers, and it simply means to be anointed by the Holy Spirit with insight and ability for ministry and for living. That when you've been anointed, you've been given the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you insight and ability so that you might minister and live to the glory of God. You know, I have a thing, and I'm going to start something. Maybe this might go national, right? I'm going to do this thing, and it's called anointing check, or anointing check, right? When I was in Virginia, they used to have a thing whenever they tried to bring people together, and people were scattered, and people were talking, and, you know, they were trying to bring things back together, they would say, attitude check. And everybody would say, oh, somebody knew, amen. Attitude check, praise the Lord, all right? Well, we're going to say anointing check, and then fruit of the Spirit. Anointing check, fruit of the Spirit. See, because, check this out, that you should have an anointing check throughout the day. And when you have this anointing check, you should be able to go and examine your life and say, at this point in time, am I exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit? You check love, check joy, check peace, check patience, check kindness, check goodness, check faithfulness, check gentleness, check self-control. That you should be able to look at any point in time. And so I was coming to church this morning, and I said, man, I want to live out this message that I'm preaching. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit, right? I said, God, I so much want to, you know, just at any point in time during the day, that if I do this anointing check, that I will find that these things are lining up in my life, right? So I'm on my way, and I come to this light. And the light was at a major at an intersection where the traffic going this way, not the way that I was going, had the, got the most time at the light. So, you know, I'm sitting there waiting for the light to turn green. And I'm sitting there waiting for the light to turn green. And I'm sitting there waiting for the light to turn green. Now, I want to go straight ahead, but this light is not turning green, right? So I make a right turn, go about 30 feet, and then turn to the place that I was going to turn. And the Lord said, "You sure are anointed with the fruit of the Spirit this morning, aren't you? You sure are anointed, right? Patience, right? Patience." So if at that moment, right, if at that moment I would have said, "Anointing check," I would have to uncheck patience, right? Because I wasn't exhibiting patience. And so when we look at the anointing, the anointing is being able at any point in the day to look at our lives and say, "I am walking with the fruit, in the fruit of the Spirit." Now, we have been anointed for two things, all right? The two things that we have been anointed for are ministry and living. That you know, God has anointed us to do certain things for him. If we go to Romans, you don't have to turn to Romans 12, but it says that he has dealt to every person the gift so that you might go forth and minister for him. And then we have been anointed for living. That nay, in all these things, Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That we have been anointed for ministry, and we have been anointed for life, to live our lives. Now, who is our example? You know, our example is Jesus Christ. And maybe you've never considered this before, but Jesus' last name is not Christ. Now, I know I grew up thinking that, you know, it was Jesus Christ, that Christ was his last name. But Christ is not his last name. Christ is actually his title, right? It's Jesus the Anointed One. That word Christ, Christos, it comes from a Greek word, and it means the Anointed One. And actually, the Hebrew, you know what the Hebrew word for Anointed One is? Messiah. So Jesus is the Anointed One, and he was anointed for a specific task. He was anointed to do something unique and something special, and that is to bring salvation to human beings. Now, Jesus was anointed before the foundations of the world, right? It says that he was ordained from the foundation of the world to be the Lamb of God that would bring forth salvation. That somewhere in a predetermined time in eternity past, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they came together and decided that Jesus would provide salvation, and he was ordained at that point to bring forth salvation. But let me show you something. Turn to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And Jesus went out to be baptized by John the Baptist. And verse 16 says, and when Jesus was baptized, straightway out of the water, he went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus was anointed. Here he was. He was God of very God. And yet and still, he had a public anointing. And what was his public anointing? His public anointing is when that he went down in the waters of baptism and he came up, the Holy Spirit came down upon him, settled on him. And somebody said, "Well, Jesus was God. You know, why did he need to be baptized?"
And I'm going to tell you why Jesus needed to be baptized. He needed to be baptized because he was announcing his public ministry. And he was anointed for the task. Now, up until this time, Jesus lived some 30 years. And, you know, we don't have a lot of record about some of the things that he did. You know, there's some false gospels that are floating around there, like the gospel of Thomas and the gospel of Peter and the gospel of Nicodemus. So, you know, there's some false gospels that are out there that talk about and say, well, these are some of the things that Jesus did, you know, before, you know, we have the recorded history of his life in the gospels that we find in the Bible. But again, those are what's called Gnostic Gospels, and actually, they are part of what's called the pseudepigrapha. That's a big word, and all it basically means is false writings. All right, so you know, there's a reason that they're not in the Bible. There's a reason that they're not in there, and so some of these claim to have some record of the life before he went public. But we really don't read a lot about the life of Christ until after he was anointed, after he was anointed for ministry. And so we have been anointed for ministry. That God has called us to serve him. God has called us to do the things that he wants us to do. And as we go forth, that there should be an anointing upon us. Let me share with you a couple of verses. The first one, and you know what, until I studied this, this verse is in there, but I've never really noticed it before, and like I did as I was reading in preparation for this message, and that is Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. Now look, Jesus is God, right? He's God. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. Now, when did he anoint him with the Holy Spirit? At his baptism, right? And how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good. What did he do when he got anointed? He did good, right? Who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus was anointed to go forth and do good. And so, if Jesus was anointed, he's our example. Whether you want to realize it or not, my brothers and sisters, you've been anointed. God has anointed you to serve him. In some capacity, you have been anointed to serve him. But I think one of the most powerful things, and there's a lot of things that we can say about the anointing that's upon us, but let me say one thing that is a point that the anointing that we have, that we are anointed to help people who are hurting. We are anointed to help people who are hurting. Turn to Isaiah 61. Like I said, there's a lot of things I can say about the anointing that's on us for ministry, but I just want to point out one. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah says, "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good news, tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are addicted, those who are laboring under addictions, to open the prison to those who are bound, those who are wrapped up, those who are tied up. God has anointed me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance, and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto those who mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." God has anointed us to minister to people who are hurting. Now, I know the first thing that somebody here is going to say, well, I'm hurting, right? I already read your mind. I'm hurting. And you know, I think about that, and that may be the very reason that keeps some from going and acting out this anointing that's on us, because you're hurting. And so I just want to say that, you know, here at Bethany, we have a counseling ministry. And I would, if you're hurting, you know, we have the first part, and it's called BC1. And it's called, the title of the course is Self-Confrontation. And that's where you learn how to counsel yourself. Because you can't counsel somebody else until you first can counsel yourself. You know, you got to be able to talk yourself down off the ledge before you can talk somebody else down off the ledge. So as we become whole and as we get the anointing upon us, then we are able to go forth and minister to others. You know, there's a group of people that come here every Friday afternoon, and some of the people come in and they're hurting. And I know oftentimes when I come in, and if I'm there to open up in prayer, and then I try to go around and greet people and shake their hands. And one of the things that people will say, you know, pray for me for this. Pray for me for that. And so there's a whole lot of people that come. A whole lot of hurting people that need someone that's anointed, that has been anointed for ministry, you know, to go forth and serve the Lord. And so that's just one aspect, you know, the people who are in pain. But there's a whole other area, or many other areas, where God has anointed us to serve him. Maybe God has anointed you to be an usher at Bethany Baptist Church. Maybe God has anointed you to be a trustee at Bethany Baptist Church. That it actually takes a special anointing, that you have the anointing to serve in that ministry. You know, if you stand back at the door and people are coming in the door and you look like a bulldog baptized in lemon juice, I would say you don't have the anointing to be an usher, right? You don't have the anointing, right? Because the anointing, when you have the anointing upon you, you know, I love our worship on Sunday morning. We had a powerful time of worship this morning, and you know, just to see Dr. Jones up here and leading the choir, and you know, you can just sense an anointing as he's leading. You know, it's not something that's strained, it's not something that he struggles with, but it's something that just flows out of him. That's the anointing, that whenever you're in ministry and whenever you're serving God and you have the anointing upon you, whatever it is that you're doing, it just flows out of you. And so if some knucklehead comes and says something to me that's offensive, or if somebody does something that affects my spirit, right? That if the anointing is upon me, I don't quit, right? Man, to quit is to shut down the anointing in your life. And I've seen it happen in the lives of a lot of people that they've got offended, that something happened, and they stopped doing ministry. And as far as the anointing that God had on your life, you basically shut the anointing off of your life. I was telling the leaders yesterday that one of the things that I love to do, I love to teach and I love to preach the Word of God. And when I'm studying, you know, that the anointing, it just jumps all over me as I'm studying, and I'm able to pick out little nuggets that are in the Word. I'm able to understand the Word. I'm able to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to take these difficult concepts and be able to explain them to your children, to your sheep. And then as I study, that anointing comes on. And the Lord begins to give me understanding and revelation.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part two of Living Under the Anointing. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Living Under the Anointing, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Living Under the Anointing. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Living Under the Anointing. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.